WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, WNYC's Bob Henley and Anna Sale in our studio, ready to go, talking about where the Occupy Wall Street movement meets Mayor Bloomberg, meets the Tea Party, meets Herman Cain, meets the elections in New Jersey. We will take it from there. Then we'll talk about President Obama's announcement that the U.S. will be completely out of Iraq by the end of this year and get some reaction to that. Play a clip of Hillary Clinton on one of the Sunday shows, still trying to dance around her past with all of that. We will look at the Martin Luther King Memorial today, opening to acclaim and some not acclaim in Washington, D.C. And we have Temple Grandin on the show today and a co-author of a new book talking about what they call twice exceptional children. And we'll preview the fall movie season. So a lot to do today. Now, over the weekend, my wife and I were on a little road trip to visit some folks, and without looking for it, we ran into Occupy Wall Street three times. We drove by Occupy Poughkeepsie, Occupy Brattleboro in Vermont, and Occupy Dartmouth in Hanover, New Hampshire. The movement is disseminated and visible from the road. But down here in Lower Manhattan, where it all began, Mayor Bloomberg is starting to change his tune about how much leeway the campers and marchers should get.
When they've marched from one place to another, they have done it peacefully. They've done it on the sidewalk, sometimes without a permit. We will start enforcing that more.
And in South Carolina, big upcoming primary state, where Occupy is met mostly with suspicion, the buzz right now is much more about Herman Cain.
You know, you've got the Occupy protesters on one end, you've got the Tea Party protesters on the other end, but in the middle, you just got a lot of pissed off people that don't have time to protest, and they're sitting at home saying, geez, I'm getting raped by the government. You know, when is someone going to stand up and offer me something different? And I think that's why people have latched on to Herman Cain right now. They're just desperate for something, anything. Just give me an idea. And Cain's doing that.
A likely Cain voter in the South Carolina primary named Will Folks. It's a free country political reporter. Anna Sale is just back from South Carolina. WNYC's Bob Henley is also with us here in Lower Manhattan. Hi, Anna. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
And today on It's a Free Country, you can also see Bob's column, Stuck Nation, celebrating its first anniversary. And Bob, let's start there. Do you see America as more stuck or less stuck than when you started the column a year ago?
Sad to say, more stuck. And with the looming euro crisis overseas, we're really on the precipice of something even more dramatic than I think than 2008. I think we're seeing the consequences of the pivotal decision by the Obama administration to do health care first. It's clear they didn't get the sense of the real depth of the real estate meltdown. In fact, even in New Jersey, what I've been out there you're going out there talking to people in preparation for our election coverage for this November, the whole state legislature is up. We have to consider across the country, and suburbia is even feeling it hardest most of all. Some estimates say about a third of households are underwater in terms of their mortgage. That is to say that they owe 20% more than the underlying value of the home. Meanwhile, we don't see any of the reforms that needed to kick in. President Obama did not strike a kind of fiery Roosevelt rhetoric to chasten the banks. He stressed continuity more over change.
Anna, you've been traveling the country, getting the mood of Republican primary voters and independents.
Mm-hmm.
How many states have you been in now so far in the last few months?
Oh, goodness. I think five or six.
Five or six. Are people talking about a stuck nation? Are people talking about Occupy Wall Street?
People are talking about feeling stuck, and people are Occupy Wall Street is coming up. When I was in Maine just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a guy who'd voted for John McCain in 2008, had voted for the governor, Paul LePage, who was kind of elected with Tea Party support. And he said, you know, when my daughter went down to New York to join the Occupy Wall Street protests, I said, you just stay down there as long as you need to, because people feel like no one in Washington has their backs. That's the sense that I'm getting talking to folks. I just want to correct that Will Foulkes, who spoke at the top of about Herman Cain's appeal in South Carolina about the fact that he has an idea, he actually is not endorsed Herman Cain yet. He's a political blogger, so he's kind of waiting to see. But he really believes that because Herman Cain is saying, here's at least one solution, that's what people are responding to.
In South Carolina, did you see an Occupy Charleston or an Occupy Hilton
Head
or
Occupy
whatever?
Occupy Charleston was getting up and going while I was there. And I drove past. It was actually about 500 yards from the Citadel. And there were about a dozen people there when I drove past it. The crowds kind of swelled and then went down as you know, the days. It was just getting started. But my sense was it was pretty small.
And on the stat that Bob cited about so many homes in suburbia all across America being underwater, being worth 20% less than the mortgage that's owed, President Obama is out now with a new foreclosure relief plan. Does this kind of thing matter to Republican primary voters, or are they suspicious of anything the government might come in and do, even to help foreclose homeowners who are all around them?
Foreclosure and home values come up a lot when you talk to folks. Probably more, though, what I hear is uncertainty about jobs and wanting to know that either their job is safe or that the months of unemployment they've had, there's going to be some shift in that. As far as whether Obama is going to have a solution, there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope out there, but among both Republican and Democratic voters. Republican voters, certainly, they haven't decided who's got the solution. No matter whether you're in Maine and New Hampshire or in South Carolina, Mitt Romney is not sort of been embraced as the front runner. People are still looking for an alternative. But there's not a real sense of this is what I want someone to tell me. It's just tell me something. Tell me a vision of how this is going to change.
Bob Henley, we played the clip at the top of Mayor Bloomberg from Friday on his WOR radio show talking about how the protesters are going to need permits now if they go on marches from Zuccotti Park. New York Post, and it's New York Post, headline on Saturday on the editorial page is Mike waking up, and it says Mayor Bloomberg yesterday suggested that he's finally losing patience with what they call an incipient public health crisis masquerading as a protest in and around Zuccotti Park. And they talk about complaints to Community Board 1 at a meeting on Thursday about potential for rodent infestations, public defecation. I don't know if that's really going on, but is something starting to change in terms of the local attitude?
Well, we documented long before remember there was this climax that was building where Brookfield looked like they were going to forcibly clean the park.
And
last week, right? And of course,
and that resulted in a compromise where they didn't forcibly evict everybody to do a cleanup. And the Occupy folks said, no, we'll all clean up together.
Right. And they had started their own committee on cleanup, the Occupy Wall Street people, well before that. They had volunteered to clean up the bathrooms of the restaurants that they were using heavily. There was a very important community board meeting. There was a resolution that came out of it. The burden really is on the Occupy Wall Street people to be proactive, particularly when it comes to drumming and the rest. What a lot of people don't realize is that this is the fastest growing residential neighborhood in New York City. Kind of odd, but there it is. And so you have a lot of young families. So it's really going to be essential for Occupy Wall Street. If they're going to show the mainstream politicians up and business as usual, then they really have to get nuanced and smart with how they relate to their real neighbors down there.
Another Cain, this one actually a Cain voter, set this up for us from South Carolina, Kimberly Sanchez.
Yes, she was fired up about Herman Cain. I walked into this Mexican restaurant in Orangeburg, South Carolina, which is Jim Clyburn country, so it was a Democratic sort of stronghold. And I said, you know, are you paying attention to the presidential election? She's like, oh yeah, I really like Herman Cain. And this is what she had to say. It was that same idea of he's giving me something. And she, as a business owner, has felt the pinch. And she said, actually, business has not rebounded at all since the recession, that it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
I think he's the first candidate that's been running that I've kind of thought, gee, I really like this guy. I really like him. And he just, I know everybody thinks that Mitt Romney is electable. But doggone it, I just like the way Herman Cain can really stick it to you. he can just say, you know, wham, this is what's happening. And I'm standing up in front of the TV, pumping my fist up in the air, going, you tell me that's exactly right, Mr. Cain. That's exactly right.
Kimberly Sanchez, excited about Herman Cain.
Pumping her fist for Herman Cain.
Let me ask you a blunt question. Can a black man win a South Carolina Republican primary?
Well, I asked folks that. And what you hear from Democratic voters and black Democratic voters, they sort of roll their eyes and say, you know, this is actually a way for black candidates to be palatable in South Carolina. They just elected a black congressman in the Charleston area in 2010. So both Democrats and Republicans point to him. And they also point to Nikki Haley, who's a South Asian Indian American governor
Republican from South Carolina.
Whether you're going to have voters who are going to look at Herman Cain and look at Barack Obama and switch over, I didn't get the sense that there's going to be this groundswell of African-American support for Herman Cain in South Carolina.
Our politics A-team, Anna Sale from itsfreecountry.org, WNYC sees Bob Henley, see his Stuck Nation first anniversary column on It's a Free Country. You know, it's not election day really around the country. It's kind of an off year most places, but the whole New Jersey legislature, Bob, is up. Is it a referendum on Chris Christie?
Well, at least the Republicans are hoping they can pick up a couple of seats in the Senate where there's like a 5-seat difference. The Assembly is kind of bulletproof. The Democrats have a double-digit lead there. There are certain places where even the Democrats hope to pick up one. In the 11th District, Jennifer Beck, Republican incumbent, is up against a very dynamic Democratic lawyer challenger, Raymond Santiago. That's Monmouth County, Ellen Carter's old district. In the 38th, in Bergen County, you have former mayor incumbent Senator Robert Gordon, Democrat, former mayor of Fairlawn. He faces a Republican Bergen County Freeholder Chair, John Gristol. And so here you see a situation where you see even in some counties that Obama carried, then Christie did really well in, like, in Middlesex County, Christie actually carried. So the electorate really is in flux, and they're feeling a really kind of clear and present anxiety that's, you know, and you're dealing with the unemployment. New Jersey lost, Brian, as a result of Irene and the further stagnation of the economy, something like 11,000 jobs in the lost reporting period. And we're starting to see government jobs taking a toll in the sense that people, the government, municipal, county, and state are cutting workers. So that's even undercutting the recovery more.
Which gets back to the Obama jobs bill, where the first thing he wanted to do was more federal money to state and local governments to save jobs like that. But Republicans don't want it. I don't know that trickles down. And so it got rejected in the Senate. I don't know if that trickles down to local state legislature races.
Well, certainly what we're seeing in the case of Christie, I think that he made a prudent choice in that we're in a situation where he could have, had he decided to run for president, find himself a few months out in the campaign trail, and then, heaven forbid, if we have another major decline like in 2008, he'd be on the road campaigning for president while the state of New Jersey, which is still kind of a very fragile basket case, in further decline.
One more presidential hopeful clip. Michelle Bachmann on CBS Face the Nation yesterday. On the issue that, gosh, if this was 4 years ago or 8 years ago, everybody would be talking about, the President of the United States announcing that all American troops will leave Iraq by the end of the year. Now, maybe it doesn't matter at all from a political perspective. Michelle Bachmann on Face the Nation.
I believe that Iraq should reimburse the United States fully for the amount of money that we have spent to liberate these people. They're not a poor country. They're a wealthy country.
Pay us back.
Pay us back.
Iraqis. Does anybody care about this one way or the other as you report from around the country on the mood of the voters?
Well, you don't hear about Iraq from voters. And what I thought was stunning, I mean, this was a huge announcement when we're going to be out of Iraq. Wow. After so many years of debating this. And then even the presidential candidates on the Republican side had pretty muted responses. They just sort of rolled it into the way they've been talking about Obama, that he's more campaigning than governing, and said, suggested that this was political as opposed to on the advice of military leaders. So, and you heard that from Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. And then Michelle Bachmann is making it a budget issue. We need to get paid back. So
does that mean that Perry and Romney would have more troops stay in Iraq if they had their druthers?
They held short on saying what they would do. They just criticized Obama's decision. decision to pull out by the end of the year.
All There's right. fatigue out there, Brian. There's real fatigue about these wars.
We will have more on the Iraq pullout from Fred Kaplan from Slate, who's great on that topic, coming up next. I want to thank WNYC's Bob Henley. Read his first anniversary Stuck Nation column on itsfreecountry.org. It's Free Country political reporter Anna Sale. See all her reporting from South Carolina and elsewhere on the site as well. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.